Miracles. Savine's throat was raw from screaming. Dark outside, no chink of light between the shutters. It had been hours then. It felt like forever. That same question chased itself around and around her mind. How many women had she known who died giving birth?
"My lady," began the surgeon.
"Don't fucking call me that!"
she snarled over her shoulder between whooping breaths, nearly swallowing her own tongue with fury.
"No one calls anyone that anymore!"
"Of course not, I apologize. The times take some adjusting to." He spoke in the blandest of drones, as if they were discussing the weather, and he by no means had his fingers in her quim. "You can push if you feel the need."
"Oh, fucking get out!"
she screamed at him. The idea that she might be able to stop herself was absurd. The one thing she wanted in the world was to push. The ridiculous shift they'd given her was tangled around her neck, choking her, and she dragged it up, got it stuck, tore at it, spitting, stitches popping, finally ripped it off, and it dropped on the bed around her wrists. It was spotted red. Zuri's hand slipped in and whisked it away, folding it so the blood did not show. How many women had she known who died giving birth? She grunted, and the pain tightened in her belly, and the grunt became a groan, and the groan a moan, and the moan a wail, and the wail a howl, and the howl a grinding scream. She clutched up fistfuls of the sheets, tried to climb the headboard, but that was worse, and she flopped back, and that was worse, and she twisted desperately this way and that on her hands and knees, but it was all worse.
Fuck!
She gasped.
Shit cunt!
She wished she knew worse words, wished Zuri had taught her Cantic. They had some savage-sounding curses in the south. The room was so bloody hot. Sweat tickled her scalp, but her arms were so locked and trembling she couldn't lift a hand to scratch. People came and went, barged in with water, with cloths, with muttered messages. Naked, on her hands and knees, with her ass in the air, honking like a sow, she barely even cared. If anything, she was grateful for the waft of breeze when the door opened.
"I do apologize," murmured the surgeon, "for all the coming and going."
"You can let the whole fucking city in," she snarled, "as long as you get the fucking baby out!"
The spasms were coming so quickly now, it was one continuous agony, and she clenched her teeth again, ground them so hard she thought they might crumble. They all say it's the most painful thing there is, of course, in a slightly gloating way, with a knowing raised brow as they look down at your massive belly. They all say it, but you persuade yourself they're being overdramatic. Savine's mother had held the pain of childbirth over her like a debt that could never possibly be paid. But then Savine's mother was one of the most overdramatic people in the world. Now it seemed she had been understating the case all along. By the fates, Savine wished her mother was there. No doubt she would have been at least half drunk, but she always kept her head in a crisis. Savine felt Zuri's hand firm on her shoulder, rubbing at her aching back, and was pathetically grateful for it. She wanted to cry, but she was crying already.
"It might be easier if you were to lie on your back," murmured the surgeon.
"Easier for fucking who?"
"That's the spirit."
She gave another ripping growl, panted and shuddered and twisted desperately, but there was no wriggling free of it. She had wanted so many things, beating everyone and winning everything and having it all and being seen to have it all. Now all she cared about was getting this over. How many women had she known who died giving birth? She wondered if dying might be preferable to much more of this.
"One more push should do the trick."
"Fuck yourself!"
"Good, good."
She screamed again. She screamed her face off. She screamed her guts out. She screamed as if she was being murdered. She felt as if she was being murdered. A stinging, burning ripping to add to all the rest, and she ran out of breath, her scream dying off into a wheezing groan as she felt something slither out. Zuri cradled her head. "Done," she whispered. "Done." The best words Savine ever heard. She slumped onto her face, breath coming in shivering gasps. Someone helped her to roll. Someone was wiping her thighs. Someone pulled a sheet over her, cool linen up to her chin. The bed was wet, wet and sticky, and she didn't care. She lay, eyes closed, breathing. The agony had faded, just a dull afterache in her back. She was floating, drifting on a cloud. Someone was dabbing her face with a flannel. She doubted it would help much, but if it made them happy, she let them get on with it. She could hear singing in the distance, one of the breakers' marches out on the Middleway. So long kept prisoner, they loved to march. So long kept silent, they loved to sing, to blurt their opinions from every street corner. Food and fuel might be in short supply, but of opinion there was a glut. She could hear crying, high and wild and desperate, like a wounded cat, very loud. Was it in the room? Was it her? There were a lot of people crying lately. Making an exhibition of your emotions was in fashion. Ranting them at a crowd even more so. But she supposed people had a lot to cry over, some more than others. There was the odd absence, of course, among her circle. Those with particularly bad relations with their workers, or those with particularly bad luck. She heard the most appalling stories. Such and such was found drowned in the canal, by the way. And what's-his-face, knifed and stripped in a sewer, did you hear? She pretended they were nothing more than stories. She pretended she could not recall the faces of those people laughing at some function before the great change. There was chaos, of course, in the aggregate. The closed council suddenly snuffed out, the bureaucracy wobbling on like a chicken with its head cut off. The breakers had ripped out most of the machinery of government. Now Rizenau and his stooges waggled the levers around, apparently never realizing they were no longer connected to anything. She asked Leo how things were in the Assembly of Representatives. He said he had lost battles and never seen a mess like that. But at the same time, things carried on. Over in the arches and across the three farms, the furnaces still burned, most of them. The wheels still turned, most of them. Goods were still made and prices still paid and business still done. In hushed tones, perhaps, with heads shaken over the state of things, actors still strutted on the stages of Adua, though they had rushed out new pieces in praise of the common man and asked for applause for Chairman Rizenau when the curtain went up, rather than for His Majesty. So Savine heard. She had not been out of doors recently herself. She was not sure how she would be received, with boos and jeers like the villain in a street play. With the cheers her husband always enjoyed for doing nothing more than whatever he pleased, or with fists and sticks and nooses from a warehouse jib, like some of her more unpopular business partners during those bloody first days. She had spent her life making an exhibition of herself, but there are times when it is only good sense to take a tasteful absence from the public stage.
"It is a boy," said Zuri.
Savine had been drifting on the edge of sleep. Lamplight sparkled in her wet eyes as she opened them. Zuri stood over her, offering something out. A clean white bundle, carefully wrapped like a present. A white bundle with a tiny, squashed-in face. Savine gave a kind of sob right from her guts. She reached for it. She hardly had the strength to lift her arms, but she wanted to hold it so badly. She hardly even knew why. She was blubbing, snot clicking in her nose, and her sore mouth hopelessly twisted. She pressed the little bundle to her chest and made noises at it.
"I'm a mother," she muttered.
Zuri raised her black brows.
I can see no other conclusion.
She heard the sound of trickling water, the surgeon washing his bloody hands in a basin.
Well done, he said, a neat smile on his face. Very well done. Tell Lord Brock he might meet his son.
Savine was vaguely tempted to swear at the surgeon again, but it would probably have been in bad taste now, and she was too busy staring at her baby's face and smiling. Smiling in a weepy, trembly, utterly unguarded way that was quite unlike her. A person, a tiny, helpless person that had emerged from her body. Savine had always scorned babies even more than pets. When other women cooed over them, she used to smile indulgently and say the things she was meant to say and think to herself, what ugly, wrinkly, pointless things these little shrieking people were, that needed help for everything and shat themselves once an hour. They all say, yours will seem beautiful, of course, in a smugly knowing way, as if shitting out a child comes with secret knowledge, like joining the Order of Magi. They all say it, but you tell yourself the poor things are just trying to wring some shred of advantage from the curse of parenthood and let them have their self-delusion. Now it appeared they had been understating the case all along. Her own baby was astonishingly, breathtakingly beautiful. Its every twitch a miracle. What a cliché.
A boy, whispered Savine.
She vaguely remembered preferring a daughter, but now, somehow, a son was exactly the thing she had always wanted. She could hear talking near the door, men's voices, warm words, congratulations, as though they had done any of the work. She heard the uneven thumping of crutch on boards. She looked up through her swimming eyes to see Leo standing over the bed. He had this odd slant to his shoulders these days. One dropped where his useless arm was tucked into his jacket, one high with the effort of leaning on his crutch.
There's a lot of blood, he croaked, eyes wide.
Entirely normal, said the surgeon. No need to worry.
It's a boy, said Savine, smiling and crying at once.
His brow furrowed as he stared down at the baby's tiny features, as though the whole business was coming as a total shock to him.
I have a son. We have a son. Ah!
She gritted her teeth at a sudden stabbing pain through her stomach down into her legs.
Ah!
And another, even worse, that made her jerk up.
What is it? Take him,
she grunted, offering the baby out with trembling arms. Leo tried to rest his crutch against the side of the bed, got his wrist tangled with it, was nearly knocked over as Zuri slipped around him.
Damn it! Take him! Ah!
Savine arched her back, another spasm of pain, much longer, much stronger, and she had to twist onto her side, kicking, whimpering, wriggling in her bloody sheets back onto her hands and knees, groaning for breath, shaking with weariness, trembling with fear. How many women had she known who died giving birth?
What's wrong?
Stammered Leo, leaning against the wall beside the bed. The surgeon was behind her now, frowning, his cold hand pressing at her belly.
Citizen Brock, you might be happier waiting outside.
Who cares a shit whether he's happy?
Hissed Savine through her gritted teeth.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
The surgeon looked up at her over his glinting lenses.
But I fear you still have some work to do.
She felt a kind of cold horror then, along with the pain.
What is it?
Zuri had the baby in the crook of one arm, but she slid her free hand under one of Savine's and squeezed it.
Twins,